earth, starting at verse 1. Acts chapter 5, and starting at verse 1. Amen. I'll just wait till they get it on the screen. I'm so grateful for God's mercy and his love. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power, in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast lied not unto men, but unto God." Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads one more time. Father, we ask for utterance, Lord, that this word, O God, that will be from you, not my words, Lord, that it will not be with my inspiration, but with yours. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands. Turn to the person next to you, shake their hand, tell them, "I'm glad you're here." Turn to the next person next to you, shake their hand and say, "I'm glad you're here." Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the title of this message doesn't actually go with this reading, and you'll see why in a little bit, but I call this Esau's Pledge. Esau's Pledge. And in Acts chapter 5, of course, we have the story in the early church of a couple who saw what everyone else was doing and wanted to be part of the community. And lots of people were, of course, the Bible said they had all things in common. And so this couple decided that they would have some land sold and they would bring some of the money to the church and give it to the church. But I'm going to come back to that first. It's really about what they promised, keeping our promises. You know, when I was young, my mother, and I've said this before, called me a promising boy because I would promise all kinds of things. "You going to take the trash out?" "Yes, Mom, I promise to do it. Later. I'll do it. I'm busy right now. I'll do it later." So my mother used to say, "You're a promising boy." I always was making promises. And I'm sure most of us through life, we've made many promises that we have not kept. Here's one: "I'll call you. I'll call you later." And we really don't put the effort to make that happen. We just make promises just trying to get through the moment because we want to get rid of somebody. "I'll meet you this weekend for lunch. We'll get together this weekend." Who's been guilty of that? Only me? Here's one: "I'm sending you the check today." The check is in the mail. The check is in the mail. Here's one: "I'll pray for you about that." What my message is really about is keeping our promises. Keeping our promises. We see this couple, they made a promise, and it really wasn't to the church. That was their mistake. Their promise was to the Holy Spirit, was to God. And there's some promises that we can break that don't have too many consequences. But there's some other promises that we break that have huge consequences. And in this case, this couple had made a pledge, not to the church, not to Peter, but it turned out to the Holy Spirit. They had pledged something to the Holy Spirit, and they broke it. So my question today is, what have you promised? What have you pledged? Because, yeah, I would promise to take out the trash, or I would promise to go clean up my room, and those were, you know, had consequences. But there are promises today that we have made to God that have much greater consequences. What are we going to do about it? Well, my title of my lesson is about Esau's promise or Esau's pledge. And in Genesis chapter 25, verse 31, if they could find that for me, you know the story, the first grown-up account of the interaction between Esau and his brother was that Esau had been out hunting and his brother Jacob had been home cooking. And apparently he was a good cook and he had this stew going. And when Esau came back, he smelled that smell and he thought, you know, I want some. But obviously there was a rivalry between the two brothers and he knew that Jacob wasn't just going to give him some. So he thought, you know what, I'll make a promise. I'll give him a promise. And we read in Genesis 25:31 that Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point of death. You know, he wasn't at the point of death. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Now the last part of that verse says that Esau despised his birthright. He had no intention of coming through to keeping this promise. He just did it on the instant. You know, sometimes we make promises just to get rid of somebody, just to get something, just to hopefully get through that particular situation. He really didn't mean it, because we see later that he really wanted to have his cake and eat it. He wanted his stew and to eat it. Sometimes to get through some narrow passages in our life, we will make promises. We will make commitments. But will we keep them? You know, one of the earliest promises or commitments or vows that God instituted was the marriage covenant. Any of you here been through one of those? I remember one in which the preacher said, for richer or poorer, and the person said, for richer and richer. They changed it. They did not want to say the richer and poorer, so they actually said, for richer and richer. And actually, that marriage did not last. Are you surprised? You see, there are some vows that we make that are not just to men. They're unto God. When we make a vow, we have to keep it. When we make a promise to God, we have to keep it. We see that Esau was only playing around. He was just saying that so he could get the food. You ever made a promise just to get through the circumstance? Come on now. I have to admit it, I have. You see, but sometimes the consequences are much greater than what we think or what we're looking for. And God is looking for us today to not be the same kind of promising boy that I was. The Bible says that when we make a promise, we have to keep it. Let our yeas be yea and our nay be nay. God is looking at us different now than when we were out there in the world, that when we make a commitment, we have to keep it. You know, the worst thing is getting to a place waiting for somebody and they don't show up. They don't even tell you they weren't going to show up. Oh, you ever experienced that? Now, you do that with a business and they're gonna charge you. You cancel on a doctor's appointment, you may still get a bill. You know why? Because you made a commitment. Yes, the appointment was for 3 p.m. and you didn't show up, you didn't give them any notice. You've done that with a hotel room. Sometimes they say if you don't cancel by 6 p.m. of that day, you're going to get a bill. Sometimes there's consequences to us breaking our promises. But I'm telling you, the greatest consequences is when we make a pledge before God. Amen? I want to reawaken your sensitivity, your conscience today, that if you have made a promise to God, we need to start keeping it. I need to start keeping it. This is really to me. Our pledges to men may be important, but our pledges to God are to be the number one priority in our life. You see, there's some vows that you make in a court of law where you will put your hand upon the Bible and they'll say, do you promise to swear that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. You put your hand on the Bible. Now, if they ever find you that you have lied, they can arrest you or charge you with perjury. And there are great consequences for that. But I'm telling you, not just perjury, there are much greater consequences when you lie to God. When we make a promise, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm going to give you my life. You see, Ananias and Sapphira owned the land. They didn't have to make any promises. But they came and they told the Holy Spirit, we're going to give you all of it. Have you come down to this altar and said, I'm going to give you my whole life, Lord? Whatever it takes, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to serve you till I die. What about this promise? Now, this may not be a shouting message, but it's the truth. God wants us to wake up. He wants us to keep our promises. He wants us to live our lives like we made that pledge when we went down into that watery grave. When we said, Lord, I commit. I make a confession of faith that I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do what you want. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. When we make a promise to God, we need to keep it. See, God is not forcing you to serve him. God is not making you love him. You have to have that for yourself. If you understand what God did for you, if you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard about the first time the word love is mentioned in the whole Bible. It concerns when God speaks to Abraham and he says, lovest thou thine only son? I want you to take that son whom you love and give a sacrifice for me. That was a big deal. That was a huge deal. But you know what? Abraham had made a promise. He said, Lord, if you let me walk and follow you, I'm going to do anything you say. I've said that many times. I said, Lord, whatever your will is. But I want you to know that I'm preaching to myself today, that I better learn to keep that. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what we go through, no matter what the temptation, we have to get to the place where we say, nevertheless, not my will, thy will, because I have decided to give you my life. I've decided to make a pledge. I've decided to make a vow. But some of us want to be like Ananias and Sapphira. We only want to give part of ourselves. Well, we'll come to church on Sunday. But we won't speak to one person during the whole week. We won't pray for anyone. We won't call someone and say, how are you doing? Can I pray for you? You see, God doesn't want us to promise just a little bit of us. He is a jealous God. He says, I'm a jealous God. I want all of your love, not a part of it. I don't want you just a little bit. I want all of it. When I was a little boy growing up, I would ask my mother how much she loves me, and she would say this much, and I would say, that's not enough, and she would stretch her arms. See, God wants to love all of you. He doesn't want a part of you. If you have pledged that you're going to serve him, then you need to serve him. See, some people have come down to this altar like Esau, and they smell the blessing. Oh, it smells good right now. It's happening right now. That smells so good. I'm going to die, Lord, if you don't give it to me now. Oh, I'll say anything right now. But tomorrow morning when I'm in temptation, when I'm in a, I won't say the word, when I'm in a mess, when I'm struggling, where is that pledge? You see, it's not what we say down here, it's what we say tomorrow out there. See, God is calling us today to keep our promises, to keep our pledges. You see, when we repent, we're actually in a marriage relationship with God. We have said some vows. When I baptize someone in that tank, the first thing I say to them is, did anyone force you to do this? Do you freely confess that you understand what you're doing? See, God wants us to keep our promises. He said, I'd rather that you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. I don't want you to be tepid. Anyone like drinking half-cold coffee? I don't. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. I'm telling you today, if you have made a pledge, if you've made a promise to God, it's time we start to keep it. It's time we start to keep it. I know it's getting quiet, but God wants this message told today. We need to keep our promises. We need to keep our promises. Numbers 30, verse 1. Right all the way back from the beginning of the law, God made it clear that there's one thing that's very important to him, that when we make a pledge, when we make a vow, that we keep it. In Numbers 30, verse 1, it says, and Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. See, when we come down here and we lay hands on people and say, if I pray for you, you promise you're going to come back to church and you never see them again. See, they only wanted the lentil soup. They only wanted the healing right there. They only wanted the blessing right there. They just wanted to make a promise for the birthright with no intention of following through, no intention of keeping their vow. But sometimes that has consequences. Sometimes that has negative consequences. You do that in a court of law and they catch you, you know what's going to happen. You're going to straight to jail. They're going to throw the book at you for perjury. Well, I'm telling you that our God is bigger than the Supreme Court. Our God is higher than the district court. Our God keeps his promises. Our God can never fail. And he wants our yea to be yea and our nay to be nay. Maybe not a shouting service, but I'm telling you the truth today. I'm speaking to myself. Have I made, Lord, promises to you that I'm not keeping? Have I said, Lord, I'm going to do my very best? Have I said, I'm going to do my very best? Am I doing my very best? Am I really serving you with my whole heart, body, soul, and mind? Am I only doing like Ananias and Sapphira, bringing part of myself? Well, I'm in a rotten mood today, so I know I have to go to church, so I'm just going to sit there like a bump on a log. When they say praise, I'm just going to sit there. That pastor better have something to get me up. That pastor better have a word, because I'm just going to sit there. I'm telling you, when we make a pledge to God, you're not serving me. You're not serving me. You're not doing any favors to me coming to church. He is worthy of all our praise. He woke you up this morning. He put breath in your lungs. He gave you eyesight. He put clothes on your back. He put a roof over your head. He gave you food. He's giving you love. He's giving you grace. He's giving you mercy. And if that's not enough to get upon your feet and say, thank you, Jesus. If that's not enough to give God praise and to return to him the blessings of life that he has given you, to return to him the thanks of the blessings that he has given you. You know why the children of Israel never made it to the promised land? Because they were too ungrateful. Too ungrateful. When the law was read, the Bible says that and Moses read the law and sprinkled the blood. They said, all that you say, Moses, we're going to do. Every word we're going to obey. We're going to do it, Moses. They just wanted Moses to shut up. They just wanted the preacher to shut up so they could go home. Oh, Moses, we're going to obey. We pledge to obey the law. All that you've written, we're going to do. It wasn't seems like every month you read in Exodus and Leviticus, they were going back on their word. For 40 years, God did miracle after miracle, promise after promise. And they would say, yes, Lord, this time we're going to serve you. This time we mean it. But they never meant it. That's why the Bible said that no man that left Egypt was going to make it to the promised land except Caleb and Joshua. How sad that all of them that came out of Egypt, that started seeing God's great miracles, having received the promise of deliverance, of freedom from slavery, only two people made it. Isn't that sad? The Bible said because they were in unbelief. I tell you, if we actually believed what we said, we'd be praising God, we'd be worshiping. If I told you had $1 million coming, there'd be no way you could be sad right now, would you? Tell me someone who's going to be sad and frowning in a hump like this. You got $1 million coming tomorrow. You couldn't stop smiling. Your face would hurt from smiling. Nobody could say anything to you to upset you. Just, I'm blessed. Thank you, Jesus. But yet the Bible says we have passed from death unto life. And we're sitting like this. Well, I got to come to church because I'm on the praise team. Well, I got to come to church because I'm the pastor. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I don't feel like it. But it's not about feelings. It's about what I promise God. Every time I feel like quitting, the scripture comes back to me, the hireling fleeth. I don't want to be a hireling. I'm not a mercenary. I'm not here because of money. I'm here because I believe the Lord sent me here. I made a promise to God, Lord, if you do a few things for me, I'm going to try and keep my promise to you. I'm going to let people know what you have given me, and that's all I'm trying to do. It's time for us to wake up and keep our promises. Don't come to Peter and tell him, yeah, this is what we sold the land for. Yeah, Lord, I'm doing everything you asked me to do, but I come to church once a week. Got quiet again. You know we're supposed to tithe our time. Do you know we're supposed to tithe our time? Now, that doesn't mean you have to be in church 24/7, but are you praying for someone? Are you encouraging someone? Are you being a witness? Are you telling someone God loves you? But most people don't want to be around us because we're so, you know, like this, you know, just looking at our face would make people cross the road. We're just in such a thundercloud. We should be the happiest, joyfulest people. You know why? God loves me. He blesses me. He lifts me up. He raises me up. His grace covers me. His love redeems me. His death saves me. I've got a lot to thank God for. Amen. But I've made some promises. I've told God a few things. I don't want to be like Esau. Yeah, I'll have the food now and I'll take out the garbage later. That's how we are. We make promises to God, but we're not keeping them. See, Paul looked at himself, and in his epistles, you see that most of his epistles start off with Paul, a servant. You know, in the King James, when they translated it, they kind of prettied it up, because really what it means, Paul, a slave. It means he's saying, listen, God, anything you want, because a slave doesn't tell himself what to do. Paul was saying, listen, God, I'm your slave. Whatever you want, you've got all of me. A slave can't say, well, hey, master, I'll do that later. He better get up now. God is wanting us to fulfill our promises. You made a pledge to him. You made a promise to him like Esau. You better fulfill it. There's coming a day when you're going to have to give an account of that promise, of that word, of that commitment, of that baptism, of that deliverance that he did for you. You said, Lord, if you heal me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to come to church. Well, where are you? See, when we repented and we said, Lord, I make a commitment. When we took on his name by baptism, you know we were married into Christ. The Bible says we are not our own, but we belong to him. Let me show you the difference between Esau and Jacob. If we turn to Genesis 28:20, we see that although Jacob was a conniver, he was a trickster, he was a con artist, there was something that when he gave his word, he kept his word. We see that when he left home, he left with nothing. He had to run for his life. He had to sleep on a stone that night. But we see that when he stepped on a stone, God had mercy on him. He had a vision of heaven, and he saw this ladder ascending up to heaven. And he saw on the throne up there, he saw God, and God made some commitments to him. And when he woke up, this is what Jacob said, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me. How many times have we said that? Lord, if you just get me through this circumstance, if you just help me pay this bill, if you just get me through this sickness. How many times have we made a pledge like that to the King of Kings and said, Lord, if you just deliver me this one time, if you just get me through this, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be different. See, we're telling God all these promises, but are we keeping them? If God will be with me and will keep me in this the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, that's all he asked for. Do you notice he didn't ask for riches? All he asked for was some food and clothing. But you go 21 years later when he came back, he had such a caravan with him. You see, God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. All he asked for was bread and clothing. That's all he asked for. That's all we should ask for, because God knows what we need. He says, so that I come again into my Father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. It was simple as that. We see another person who made such a pledge, and that was Ruth. She said to Naomi, your God will be my God, and your people, my people. And because of that, she ended up marrying Boaz. And because of that, she became the grandmother of David. When you make a commitment to God, and you are willing to keep it, and willing to sacrifice for it, God will show up. He will keep his commitment. He will bring deliverance. He will bring healing. He will bring his promises to fruition. But when we let our side down, all we can do is go to Peter like Ananias and Sapphira and, you know, say, well, here's all of it, Lord. I brought you all of it. Or even worse, like the parable that Jesus told with the person who was given the talent, he buried it. Said, well, I know you're a hard person, so I kept it safe. I just brought you back what you gave me. See, that's what we are like. We don't want to keep our promises. But I'm telling you, God is going to ask us to give an account for every idle word, the Bible says. You see, we're going to have to give an account for the witness that we promised God. Lord, I'm going to be your witness. I'm going to be your apostle. I want to be your disciple. We're going to have to give an account for the promise we made in our Christian walk. Could you invite some of the people you've been mad at? Have you showed up so much that you could now go to them and say, please come to church after you carried on? What about our direction that we're living, we're going in, our lives? The promises we made to God, are we keeping that? What about promising that we're going to trust him? Lord, I trust you no matter what, no matter if you slay me, we'll quote Job. If you slay me, I'll serve you. Are we keeping that promise? Are we letting life's tragedies, life's pressure, steal our joy, take away our promise? Because with the promises we make, there is also a reward for those that keep them. The Bible said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. See, Esau really didn't mean it. He was just saying that because he wanted the food. He just saying that because he wanted the food. We see that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. The Bible says about Esau that he was profane. That means he was a totally unscrupulous, unspiritual type person. It said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He didn't care. He was just living in the instant, whatever it took to get through. Is that our approach to God and his love? Lord, I'll tell you anything right now if you just deliver me. Jacob made a pledge, and all he asked God for was food and shelter. And God gave him so much more than that. Lord, if you will bless me, if you'll just give me food and raiment, and let me come back to my father's house in peace, you're going to be my God. That's all he asked for. 21 years later, when he came back, he had children, he had cattle, he had so much riches, because you know what? God will keep his pledge. God will keep his promise. God will deliver you. He will do more than we can ever imagine. The Bible says abundant exceedingly. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 4 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. In the modern translation, it says, speaking, when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. Now, I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I've been slow to do what I told God I was going to do because I don't want to do it. Lord, I need to call this person, but I don't really want to do that. They're going to give me a hard time. I don't want to do that. And sometimes I don't do it when I should do it. You see, but that's where God's grace and mercy will come in. If we confess our faults, he is faithful to forgive. He is faithful to forgive. I stand here by the grace of God. Not because I'm perfect, but because he is perfect. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes the messages that come can't all be love and grace. And sometimes we have to tell you what the Lord wants to tell you. We need to keep our promises. We need to keep our promises. The Bible speaks about God and his promises. In 2 Corinthians 1, 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. When God says something, it's going to happen. You can take that to the bank. You can stand upon it. Even if it takes 20 years, it's going to happen. Just wait for it. Just wait for it. I was telling a story this morning in Sunday school about how I bought this electronic gadget and I couldn't get it to work. And the reason was I didn't understand that I had to wait for it. I was pressing the button and it wouldn't come on. And I kept on pressing the button and it still wouldn't come on. And just by accident, I kept my finger on the button, and after about 5 seconds it came on. It had a delayed start. That's how it was supposed to work. You had to hold on for a little bit. Sometimes you got to hold on for a little bit before the promise comes through. And then I read the book and it said, this thing is a delayed start. So you have to press the button and hold for 2 or 3 seconds. I was doing this and it wouldn't start, and getting frustrated and opening it up and I was about to tear it apart. Then it would never have worked. When those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. You see, when you trust in God's promises, he's never going to let you down. Hebrews 6:12 says that that he be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience that inherit the promises. God will never let, he has never let me down. I have failed him, but he has never, ever failed me. He has done miracle after miracle for me. So you know what? I'm going to try and make sure that I keep my promises to him. Hallelujah. Even though when I don't, my flesh don't feel like it, when I want to delay it, when I want to put it off, I'm going to remember my word to him. I'm going to try and remember, Lord, I made a commitment. I've had prayer prayed over me. I have made pledges to you. I've made vows to you. I need to keep my vows. I need to give you all that I have promised you. I can't hold anything back because I have promised you. Hallelujah. When we have made a pledge to God and said, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you with my whole heart. We need to pay that pledge. We need to mean it. Hallelujah. If you could stand with me. I told you I wasn't going to be long. If Ananias and Sapphira had just confessed, because Peter gave them a chance. He said, have you really sold the land for this much? All they had to say, well, actually, we kept a bit back. That's all they had to say. All they had to do was be honest. And I believe God would have spared their lives. But Peter said, you didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Spirit. When we come down here and we say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to serve you with my whole heart. When we go down in that tank and we are baptized in his name, do you understand that something different has happened? We have taken on the heavenly name. The Bible says that those who have had his name depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. We have to get serious about our commitment. We can't walk as the world walks. We have to be separated. The Bible says we are a peculiar people, a holy nation. We're supposed to be different. And if we are different and separated, God can bless us. God can deliver us. Now, it may not seem that way to the world, but you can have a joy and a peace that passes human understanding. People are looking and saying, what's wrong with them? Didn't they just get some bad news? I've had lots of bad news, but I'm still smiling. Just because I don't tell you all my bad news doesn't mean anything. But I'm still smiling. You know why? Because I know in whom I have believed. And the scripture says that he is able. My dependence is not upon this world, the government, or anything. My inheritance is in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bible says that whatever you give to him, you can't lose. Whatever you give to him, you can't lose. Whatever you have promised him, you need to give to him. Hallelujah. We're closing this service. I'm not closing on a sad note. I want you to know that God keeps his promises. We need to keep ours. And when we do that, I declare to you today, try it and see what will happen in your life. Don't be an Esau. Don't just make a pledge because you just want the soup now. But if you're willing and able to truly give your life and mean it and be like Jacob when he left his father's family, all he had was a stone for a pillow. But he had something he could give. You know what he gave? He gave a promise of his life. And that is actually the most valuable thing that you can give today. Not money. But if you give God a pledge that, Lord, if you will help me, because I can't do it on my own. But if you will help me, Lord, I promise I'm going to live for you. Lord, if you will help me and direct my path, no matter what I'm going to go through, I'm going to make it with your help. I can't do it with myself. But Lord, if you will help me, I will do my best to serve you faithfully. God listened to Jacob's pledge. Now, Jacob had to wait a little bit, but God fulfilled in abundance everything that he had told Jacob. Jacob had so much stuff, he had to give it away. He came back in peace. His brother was coming to kill him, But God said, no, listen, you can't do that. I've made a pledge to my friend Jacob. So his brother, by the time his brother met him, he wept and hugged him. See what God can do when you will keep your part of the bargain. Shall I tell you the easiest part? Well, not the easiest, but the easiest for us to give if we don't have anything else is trust in God. Trust in God, lean not to our own understanding. That is something that we can give God. Lord, though he slay me, just like Job, yet will I trust you, yet will I serve you. Even though we can't understand what we're going through, it doesn't make no sense. Even though you may be like Jacob, running away from home because your brother's trying to kill you. Even though you may not have anything but a stone pillow, you can give a pledge to God. And when you do, it will be amazing what God will give you back. These altars are open. But whatever you promise God, keep it. If you're not willing to give him your whole life, promise what you will give him. And then keep it. Because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service so this altar is open. Yeah.